This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Welcome to Bet and Breakfast, a podcast from BetSided.
Hey, does anybody want coffee? Who wants coffee?
It's sports betting for everyone.
I'm here to tell you today that the New York Yankees season is done. Stick a fork in them, it's over.
Lamar Jackson, I can't believe he's that low on the list that he's my bet for sure at this point in the season.
Early leans, best bets, props, parlays. If you can bet it, we've got it.
I'm taking the over on this. If you look at the last five games, this is a game waiting for points to be scored.
Tom Brady, I think everyone's heard of him. If Brady puts up the numbers, they have the 10th easiest schedule the rest of the way.
Get in, get out, and you're ready to go.
I think they're going to have to give him the award if Dallas ends up locking up this division and possibly even that number one seed.
And here are your hosts, Ben Heisler, Ian McMillan, Peter Dewey, Donovan Smoot, and Reed Wallach.
What comes before anything? What have we always said is the most important thing?
Breakfast.
Family.
I thought you meant the things you eat.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to today's episode of Bet and Breakfast, May 29th, the last Bet and Breakfast of the month of May. Myself, Peter Dewey, glad to have you here. Big Formula One race going on. Peter, who you got?
Dude, I actually have not checked. I forgot there was Formula One this weekend, so I have not looked. I had a bunch of people like text me and go, are you watching Formula One right now? And I was like, I forgot they're racing this weekend. I feel like the safe thing is just to say Max Verstappen because I feel like he wins every other week anyway. So that'll be my guy.
Big drama so far in the race. They're in the middle of a red flag, which means they've stopped. And Ferrari was winning, and there was a pit stop issue, and Charles Leclerc got angry at his pit crew and was yelling at them. It's been a dramatic start to the Formula One race, Peter. But that is not what we are here to talk about today. We're going to briefly touch on Rangers Hurricanes, going to get into some live bets for the Charles Schwab Challenge, which is the PGA Tour event going on right now. Then we are going to talk Heat Celtics Game 7. I got a bone to pick with you about that. And then we're going to finish off with our best bets of the night tonight. Is that a little bit of a new background, Peter? Is that Yankees World Series Champions banner?
It is. Got a little Yankees World Series Champions banner. The light coming in from my window is blocking my Knicks plaque right here. So that's unfortunate. I got a little homage to the GOAT, Michael Jordan, to my left, and then a little basketball. You know, we're sprucing it up. Still got some things to go. Thinking about putting up a sign, like a letter sign, basically. Like, you ever see one of those things where you can kind of just like create your own message every day?
Yes.
I think just like whoever I decide to bet on that day for the show, that's going to be the message. So like, it would be like Jimmy Butler, Jim Harden, some funny stuff like that, and do that. But yeah, it's a work in progress, but we're getting there.
Are you concerned that putting up a banner with the Yankees World Series titles is like cursing them this year and like jinxing them?
No, I can't believe in a curse like that. The thing for the Yankees is the last, like, what's it been now, 12, 13 years, like, they've really only had like a World Series caliber team probably like, I'd say, 5 of those years. So this year, I feel like it could be. They got to stay healthy, but no, they're not going to win or lose based on what I have in my background. I'm convinced of that. Because I've had nothing or something of the Knicks in my background. They stink regardless, so it doesn't matter.
Well, I don't know if it's going to affect them or not, but the Yankees are going to have a terrible second half of the season and miss the playoffs. So I'm looking forward to watching you score them when that happens. Speaking of a New York team, let's briefly touch on the Rangers, who have forced Game 7 against the Carolina Hurricanes. The Carolina Hurricanes this season are now 7-0 at home and 0-6 on the road. So if you've been betting on Hurricanes games in the playoffs, if you just bet the home team in every single game, you would be up a ton of money. So Rangers won last night, forced a Game 7. You are a Rangers fan. What are your thoughts on this? Can they get it done in Game 7?
Hope so. Like we've been talking about all playoffs, like, it's going to all depend on if Igor Shesterkin can just carry them, because that's just what's happened in all three games that they've won. The Rangers on the road scare me a little bit, but obviously since the Penguin series, they're now 4-0 facing elimination in these playoffs. So clearly with their backs against the walls, they're playing well enough. Carolina at home scares me, though. I know you have a little stat for this because you sent it to me this morning. They've been like insanely better at home than on the road. So obviously not great to have a Game 7 that's not in your building, but I think they have the best player on the ice. I think Shesterkin is the best player. So in basketball, I'm always inclined to say best player probably wins the game in a game seven. So I'm going to use that thinking in hockey, even though it's probably not true, so that I want the Rangers to win. But Carolina's tough, man. They're tough.
Yeah, here's a little stat to just prove how much Igor Shesterkin has stolen the series for them. The Hurricanes this series, their expected goals per 60 minutes is 3.65. Their actual goals per 60 minutes is 1.82. So almost a full two-goal difference is what Shesterkin is making in these playoffs. It's insane. It's not fair. I'm upset about it. The Rangers do not deserve to be this deep into the playoffs. They don't have that good of a team. And one player, one goalie is just stealing it for them. So I will be a massive – and I'm also, to be fair, I do have a Hurricanes ticket for them to win the Cup. So my Flames tickets have already gone down in flames, pun intended. So the Hurricanes are the only team I have left alive. So go Canes, go.
I have – in our pool, our bet-sided pool, the NHL playoff pool, I had the Rangers winning the Cup. Very biased, but I don't know enough about hockey, so I was like, I'm just going to root for what I want to see happen. So this would be big for me because I don't think that many people had the Rangers winning the Cup. Maybe I'm wrong. I haven't checked, but we'll give me a little separation from the rest of the pack.
I'm living in New York while the Rangers are very good and the Yankees are very good as hell.
Just imagine if the Knicks were good, dude. It would be even crazier. Like
I would kind of like if the Knicks were good though, because that's like a feel good story because they've been bad for so long.
The Yankees and the Rangers is definitely bad. I get like not being a New York fan. I completely get how your pain, bro. The Knicks would be. It's a whole different. I mean, last year they made the playoffs. People were running in the streets, going crazy when they went over 500 before the All-Star break. Like, it's just a whole different vibe. Like, if the Knicks ever win a title, like, I'm genuinely concerned New York City is just going to burn to the ground because, like, it's just going to be mayhem, dude. Like, it's going to be mayhem because people love that team so much and they put them through so much. At least the Rangers have been good and they've won a cup and, like, the Yankees have been – they're always are good. So, like, you don't have that like longing for something, but yeah, I understand for you, it's gotta be hell right now because I would not want to be there. It's gotta be terrible.
Let's dive into some little golf, little Charles Schwab challenge. Scottie Scheffler, who like 3-4 months ago had 0 wins on the PGA Tour, now has 4 wins, is the number one ranked golfer in the world and is 18 holes away from getting his 5th win of the season. An insane run. I thought Scottie Scheffler's run was over because he hadn't been great the past few weeks. But here he is. He has a 2-stroke lead heading into today. They tee off. Scottie Scheffler and Brendan Todd, the final group, will tee off at 2:15 p.m. Eastern. So I figured out we'd give some live picks out for this. Peter, I know you're not a big golf guy, but I figured I'd get your opinion. So if you were to live bet this tournament with Scottie Scheffler having a 2-stroke lead, who you got?
Yeah, I think I'm going to take Scotty, to be honest with you. Like, the thing for me, I have nothing. I know, it's a square play. I know. But I have nothing. Obviously, I have nothing in pocket. Like, the only tournaments I've bet are so far this year are the Masters and the PGA because it's obviously just such big events. But the thing I think, and you talked about it last week when we were talking about Mito Pereira on the last day, is like guys who haven't won before, like you see them kind of collapse sometimes on the last day, and guys who have won before, like there's like a sense of like I've done before, like I can do this. Like you said, Scotty, yes, coming into this year had not won before, but he's killing it this year, and he knows what he's had to do to close out what 4 tournaments already so far this year. So yeah. For me, I think, you know, him closing out the Masters, not having this like being as big of a tournament, as big of like, oh my God, if I blow this, like it's gonna go down, and like it's just not the same kind of pressure. 2-stroke lead, like he's been the best golfer on tour all year. Like I think at -135, like yeah, you gotta lay some juice with it, but I can't see like the other guys behind him. I'm just like, they could play good today, but I just don't think Scotty's going to have like a blow up like Pereira did last week where he puts himself in a position where he can't win it. Like he may shoot, you know, one over, you know, the first 6-7 holes, but like he's still going to be in contention at that point. I think he can close with this big of a lead.
Yeah, that's a great point. Exactly what you just said is what I was going to say as well, is that like in these tournaments where a golfer has a couple stroke lead heading into the final round, if he's like a guy who's not used to winning on tour, there's a pretty good chance that he's going to collapse. The number one ranked golfer in the world, not quite as big of a chance. But there are still some guys within range that if other guys have really good rounds, like Scottie Scheffler could still like play decent today and still not win. It's not like he has a big enough lead where he can just shoot even par and guarantee himself a victory. Mm-hmm. So I went a little bit further off the board. And by the way, a little pat myself on the back for last week calling Justin Thomas for having a chance heading into Sunday. Yeah. To be fair, though, I didn't bet on it myself, so I can't pat myself on the back too much because I liked it, but not enough to part with my own money. Going with the guy who's 10-1 heading into the final round today, and that is Harold Varner III. He is currently 3 strokes back. I think if you're going to live bet this event, I wouldn't go anyone worse than 7-under, which is 4 strokes back. Harold Varner is 3 strokes back. Now, I'm a little bit concerned. He hasn't won on the PGA Tour before in his career. He does have 2 international victories. But none on the PGA Tour. But the reason why I kind of like him is because he can score birdies. And if you're going to catch Scottie Scheffler, like I said, you can't just hang around and hope Scheffler is going to collapse. You have to go and get him. Mm-hmm. And Harold Varner ranks 11th on the PGA Tour in birdies per round, averaging 4.35. So if he can go out and shoot 6-under, his big thing is obviously just limiting bogeys. Like he can't give up strokes with bogeys. But if he goes out and shoots, 6-under, that's going to put some pressure on Scottie Scheffler to at least do something to really get the win today. So at 10-1, I think that's the best value bet on the board. I don't really like the guys who are 2 strokes back, Brendan Todd or Scott Stallings. I'd go Brendan Todd if you had to, but I think the best value bet here is Harold Varner. He, in my opinion, is the only one who kind of has the firepower to do it.
I like that. I think at this point, if you're not taking Scheffler, like you want to take someone who's, a little bit further down, because like if you're going to hit this bet, like obviously they're going to have to play great, but like you want the return on investment here. Like you're not going to, I think that you have to take, it's similar to what you said about Justin Thomas last week. Like you said the exact same thing. Like Justin Thomas had the firepower to go low and like catch Mito, even though he was what, 4 strokes back on Sunday last week?
He was 7. At one point, seven. Justin Thomas was 8 strokes back at one point on Sunday.
Jeez, dude, that's crazy. I didn't think it was. I forgot it was that much. So yeah, like yeah. But you said it exactly last week. You called it. You were like, he has the firepower. If anybody's going to go low and do it, it's going to be Justin Thomas. So I think that's the way you have to look at this because, like, you're right, Scotty. The odds of Scottie Scheffler like shooting over par, I just don't see it happening. He's played too good. Like he's already minus left. Like he's probably like a bad round. Like I think he probably shoots even, and then it's like okay, you have to make up 3 shots. You need somebody who's going to shoot 4-under at Varner's spot, regardless. So I like it a lot. I like that for sure.
Also, by the way, shout out to Mito Pereira who just lost in one of the biggest collapses in major tournament history. Coming back with a very solid tournament is T9 right now at 6-under. So usually you see guys, especially guys who haven't won before on tour, who have these big collapses, they just psychologically fall apart. Not the case for Mito. He's right back in the mix. So shout out Mito Pereira.
Interesting. Good for him.
I got a couple top 10 and top 20 bets I'm rooting for today. I need Christian Bezaidenhout. I need Kevin Na. I forget who else I had, but. What happened to Webb Simpson? Yeah, he's over. Had a bad round yesterday. All right, so that's a little golf talk. Let's dive into tonight's. I mean, obviously, this is the big story for today, Game 7. Celtics, Heat. I said I had a bone to pick with you. Peter, we have talked before. Yeah. I don't know if it's on streams or meetings or just kind of in our Slack channel. You went on record saying the Heat absolutely stink, one of the worst one seeds in NBA history. There's no chance they beat the Celtics. I've never heard you trash on any team, athlete, or anything before in my entire life. And now here we are, Game 7. Are you nervous that take is going to come back and bite you in the ass? Because it kind of already has.
It. I mean, it did because I thought they were going to get rolled in Game 6. And like, I do want to say, Miami. Healthy Miami is not one of the worst. The team that showed up in this series with all the injuries, yes, they've been horrible. The Celtics are also very, very good. Like, I'm not taking it. Like, I've said Boston, I think, is the most complete team left in the playoffs. I said this before the conference finals started. I wrote a story about it. Like, I think they are. The issue is, I've said this time and time again, the Celtics have beat themselves in all of these games that they lost. They've turned the ball over a ton. In Game 6, it was 99-99, and Jaylen Brown got fouled with, like, 2 minutes to go, and he's one of the best players in the league. He's probably top 20 player in the league, and he misses two free throws. And Miami comes down, and they score, and it completely shifted the momentum in the game. And the Celtics have done that. Like, they had a ton more free throws than Miami in that game. They have shot themselves in the foot in every single game that they've lost in the series. And the way I look at this, Ian, and I feel free to debate me on this, but every game Boston has won in this series, they have won comfortably, like 20-plus points, blown them out. Miami has won. Not only has Boston played horribly, but Miami has had to eke out a single-digit victory, basically, in the final minutes to save their ass and win the game. So my thing here, I just don't – like, I just don't see, like, the Celtics are 3-point favorites and people think that's wild because they're on the road in the game. So, like, they're the better team. They are 100% the better team. And Miami is banged up. Like, we got a Jimmy Butler masterclass in game six. Kyle Lowry played his best game he's played in months in game six, and they won. And those guys have been banged up this whole postseason. They haven't played well. So, I am not backing off the stake. I think Boston wins tonight.
Big players make big plays in big games, and that's what Jimmy Butler is. The sign of a good team is being able to win those close games, to be able to hit those free throws, and the Celtics have not done that this entire series. So to me, it actually makes the Heat seem like a better team. Sure, the games they lost by a lot, but they're winning the close games. They're winning when it matters. And you're just your take that the Celtics games that they lost, they just played horribly, and that's why they lost? I mean, isn't that just part of losing? Didn't the Heat just play horribly in their losses?
It is, but like this. I hate to say this because like it's just not like, but like I've watched every single playoff game, like the locked in, like watched every game. Like you watch the games Miami loses, and like they just don't they don't have it. But like it's like they can't score at all. And Boston's games that they've lost, like they've hung around, and then it's come down to like in the game one. They were up 7 at the half, and in the third quarter, they just turned the ball over like 8 times. Miami got a ton of points off it. They went on like a 20-2 run, and then somehow Boston had it within 7 again with like a minute to play. And then game 3 was the same thing. Miami went up 17 at the end of the first quarter. It looked like, you know, here we go. We got the blowout on the other side, and Boston had it within, you know, 2-3 points late in the fourth quarter. And so, like, I just don't know if Miami has the firepower to like put this Celtics team away if they're playing well. Like the games they've lost, they have not played well. They won game 4 playing poorly. They shot below 40%, got 23% from 3, and they still won. So like it's not like Boston has to play their A game to win these games. They won that game by 20 points. Like Miami, like it's A game to win any game in the series. Boston's like put up a couple B game performances and they've won. It sounds so cliche, but that's what's happened in this series. So I just don't, unless Jimmy Butler goes crazy tonight again, which he might, but like he's banged up. He has a knee injury. Like he put everything into that game 6. If he doesn't score 40 points, I don't know if they win. Like I really don't. And maybe he does, but like, am I going to bank on Jimmy Butler scoring 40 points against Miami team?
I have a question. Why are you a New York sports fan dying on the hill of the Boston Celtics?
I don't want to be.
Aren't you ashamed as a New York sports fan to be dying on the hill of a Boston team?
Listen, there is nothing I would love more for this Boston team to get knocked out of the playoffs because I can't
stand it. It doesn't sound like it. It sounds like you're a Celtics fan.
I'm being honest for the people. Like I'm here. People are coming to us for betting advice. I'm being honest with you. The Celtics are the better team. Like I'm not going to sit here and play some ruse that Boston stink. Like they're the better team. It is like their defensive rating is better. Their offensive rating is better in the playoffs. Like they're hitting more shots from three-point range. Like they are the better team in this series. Home court advantage is going to matter tonight because it always seems to in game 7. But at the same time, the Celtics went into game 7 against the Bucks, and I thought that, you know, Milwaukee had a good chance. Obviously, they have Giannis. So I was like, oh, Milwaukee had a chance. And Boston ran them out of the gym. So I just don't – I think people are – the Celtics team has – like, and from myself as well early because I in the playoffs I said that I didn't think they could get through the Nets and the Bucks, and they did that. So I was wrong. But, like, this Celtics team all season long has been unbelievable defensively. And that matters in these games. Like, you look at the total in this game, it's 196. Like, game sevens tend to be rock fights. I believe unders in game sevens over, like, the last 10 years are hitting at, like, a 66% clip or something like that. It's a crazy, crazy number. And Boston's been awesome after a loss this postseason. They're 5-0. They have not lost two games straight. So I just don't know if I see it for Miami tonight. Like, they're going to have a great Jimmy Butler game and a great somebody else game, because I don't know who that somebody else is going to be. Like I've said, they've been playing roulette this entire postseason. If Tyler Hero doesn't play tonight, I just don't know who steps up and is like the savior in this game. And maybe Boston lays an egg, but I don't see it. I think they're going to be fine.
I think next time we stream, instead of a Yankees banner behind you, you're going to see like a Red Sox banner behind you, because I think you're just turning into a Boston sports fan.
Never that.
I, for one, find it disgusting.
Never that. Never that. I'm just being honest, dude. As an NBA fan, like, I just don't – Miami is just not – I just don't think they have it. And, like, I think if the Celtics made the finals, they could give the Warriors a serious run. I think that would be a great series. I think if Miami made the finals with all the injuries they have, unless somebody – like, they're only going to have, what, three days off after the series before the finals start. Like, unless Tyler Hero is going to be able to come back, which I don't know, and unless Kyle Lowry miraculously is like back to his old self, which I don't think he's going to be. He has a hamstring injury. Like, those don't just go away. Like, I don't think Miami really sticks with the Warriors just scoring wise. I think Boston can, because they have Brown and they have Tatum. But this, it's going to be a fun game tonight. Are you going to watch this one is the real question.
I was just going to say that big announcement. This will be my first NBA playoff game that I'm going to watch tonight. It's game seven, Eastern Conference Final. I hate the Celtics. I'll be cheering for the Heat. Go Heat, go. I'll tune in. It might not be till halftime, to be honest, but I'll watch.
Okay. All right. I can live with that. That's fair.
All right. Let's get into our best bets. Why don't we just stay right here in the NBA, Peter? Give me let's start. Yeah, whichever bet you want to go with first. I know we have two for the NBA game today. Whichever one you want to dive into first, let's do that. I'll finish off with Sunday Night Baseball.
Yeah, I'll start with the simple one. I'm taking the Celtics to win. I bet them when they're 2.5-point favorites at -145. I don't want to risk any points here. I'm not, because I can see this being a close game. It's the nature of game sevens with a low total. But I think Boston wins. Like I said, Miami has been like, shout out to them for forcing a game seven. I think myself especially, and they were 9-point underdogs in game six. Like, nobody thought they were going to win game six, and they did. So I will give them credit there. At the same time, like, Jimmy Butler, 47 points or 45 points. Like, he had to go crazy. Kyle Lowry had 18 and 10. He had his best game of the playoffs so far. Max Strus finally started hitting shots. Thing for Miami, Tyler Hero was unable to, like, slide defensively. That was the report ahead of game six, which is why he didn't play. I can't see a scenario where he plays tonight, which kind of limits their offense. Like I said, these games – to be rock fights in game seven. This whole series is kind of played out like so what it comes down to is best player in the series is normally where I'm leaning, and Jimmy Butler is probably the best player in the series, but Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown are clearly number two and three. I think Boston has too much firepower down the stretch. I think they're going to win this game. They haven't lost two straight games all postseason. And Miami's offense, like, yeah, they scored enough in game six. The two previous games, they scored 82 and 80 points, and they looked completely incompetent. So I think we see kind of a middle ground of that, and I think Boston's offense is just going to be a lot more, like, a sure thing you're going to see tonight. So unless all of the Heat role players are playing well, I think Boston pulls this game out.
So we have sat here, Peter, now for last week, today. We've talked about this in our chats. You have said that the Heat are the far inferior team. The Celtics are the much better team. They're undefeated after a playoff loss, yada, 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 yada. You're basically saying the Celtics are the greatest team ever to ever exist, and the Heat don't even deserve to be in the playoffs. And then when it comes down to make your pick, you don't even take the three – you don't even lay the 3 points. You're too scared to lay the 3 points and just take money line.
I am the 3 points. I am the 3 points. No way. No way, dude. No way.
After everything you said, it sounds like you'd be willing to lay an alternate spread of like 10 points.
Yeah, well, that's what I basically had in game six. I was like, I'm laying all the points with Boston. They got burned, so I'm just going to take them to win, because they win every time after they lose. So I just know they're winning this game. They're winning this game. It's going to kill me because they're going to be, but I know they're winning this game. I have emo bet the Celtics the entire playoffs, and the only good thing is that I've been right. Like, they're winning. That's just what happens. Like,
So let me ask you this then. So obviously you think the Celtics are going to win. You're cheering for them with your bet. Your heart, though, would you rather the Heat win? Like, who are you cheering for just as a fan?
Yeah, dude, 100%. I would rather the Heat win. I don't want to see the Celtics in the finals. You said it yourself. I'm a New York guy. I'm not it. But, like, if I'm being honest for, like, all of our viewers, the community, like, I think Boston's going to win. Like, the sports better, the unbiased anything, Boston is the better team. That is who I will bet on. It's not who I want to win, but, like, I'm being honest with all my picks. Like, I don't bet. I so this is the way it is. Like, they're going to win this game.
All right. I'll be on Heat. Like I said, I'm not an NBA guy, but just to spite you and your take on the Celtics, give me the Heat.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
But you have a player prop for this as well. Break down your player prop.
Yeah, so I'm taking Derek White over 8.5 points. Derek White's been really solid the last three games of the series. He scored 13, 14, and 22 points. The big thing I like is his shots are way up. So first game of the series, Derek White played 29 minutes. He only took 4 shots. Then he didn't play in game 2 because of the birth of his child. Game 3, he 14 minutes, took 2 shots because they were working him back into the rotation. But last three games, 41 minutes, 14 shots, 29 minutes, 8 shots, 33 minutes, 14 shots. Marcus Smart has been banged up with several injuries this entire postseason, which means Boston's going to have to lean a little bit more on Derek White regardless. And he made a comment, Ian, before game 4 when he was getting the start for Marcus Smart. He said, if I'm going to go down, I'm going to go down aggressively. So he was like, I'm going to go out. I'm going to hunt my shot. I'm going to play hard. I'm going to try and like look to score. Because the big knock on him in these playoffs at times, he's kind of just like shied away from looking for a shot. And you also look at Derek White's last 9 games. He has scored 9 or more points in 7 of those 9 games. So I know it's a low total in a game 7, but the thing that I think with Boston that's different than Miami a little bit, because Miami is going to probably play 9 or 10 guys. Boston probably doesn't want to play more than 7, maybe 8 guys. Maybe Peyton Pritchard plays tonight. So Derek White's going to see a ton of minutes. Yes, it's a low total, but I think he gets 9 points, especially if he stays as aggressive as he was last game. Like, they were running some offense through him in game 6. So I like him over 8.5 points. I feel like this is a low enough number where you can get in on a role player like this.
Athletes need to do a better job of planning the birth of their children. How's that for a take?
So funny thing is
happens all the time. Guys are missing the finals and playoff games for like
the year.
They should be planning it out like 9 months before like the playoffs and like potential finals. Like, they should not be having sex.
It's not a bad idea. It's not a bad idea. The funny thing is though, the year the Raptors
Jefferson
won the title,
missed the Super Bowl for the Rams because the birth of his child.
The year your Raptors won the title, though, I think you'll remember this. Fred VanVleet had his kid mid playoffs, and pre having his kid, he was horribly came back.
Oh, that's true.
Couldn't miss a shot, and they won. They won. I'm starting to wonder if Derek White's on the Fred VanVleet grind right now because he looks pretty good. He looks pretty good. So that is not how I was handicapping this, but I just thought it was funny. Like, I was looking back, and I was like, the last time I remember a player this deep in the playoffs that had that happen was Fred VanVleet, and like, I mean, he was fantastic in the finals. Like, he couldn't miss. It was hilarious.
Yep, I like that take as well. If you're shooting cold, have a kid.
There you go. It's the easy way. See, you got the extra motivation. My kid's going to look back on this and be like, hey, did my dad stink in the Eastern Conference Finals?
Yeah.
You're balling. There you go. There it is.
Yeah, so it's a big thing in the UFC, too, the dad factor. Guys always seem to fight well after the birth of a kid. All right, do you have any final thoughts about the NBA before I jump into Sunday Night Baseball?
Only thing I'll say, I will say this. I think regardless of what happens tonight, I do think the finals is not going to be like some – we've seen too many finals, like when the Warriors had Durant and stuff, where it was like just like completely overmatched. And even the bubble finals where it was the Lakers against the Heat, I know it went 6 games, but like there was just no way that Miami team was beating the Lakers. I do think – like, I think the Warriors would beat the Heat, but I think the Heat would, like, make it interesting enough. Like, we're not going to have, like, blowout after blowout after blowout. Because I think whoever comes out of the East matches up very well with Golden State. I don't think anyone in the West was, like, able to go small enough to match State and like have their best players on the floor. Dallas was like the closest to that. And then the Warriors said, haha, we're going to go big on you guys because we know you have no bigs. So like the Warriors, like they mix and match so well. I think both Boston and Miami can thrive if they go small. They can thrive if they play Robert Williams or Bam Adebayo at the center. So I'm very excited for this finals. I think it's going to be one of the best ones we've had in a long time.
All right, we'll see how that goes. I think the Heat win it all. How about that? Diving into some Sunday night baseball here. Mets, Phillies. I'm going to go with the Mets. -110 odds at WynnBET against the Phillies in this matchup. Pretty easy handicap here. I don't have too much to dive into, but the Mets very good against right-handed pitchers. If you're going to bet against the Mets, don't do it against lefties. Do it when they face right-handed starters. And they're facing Zach Wheeler tonight, who is, of course, a righty first in Major League Baseball and batting average against righties, second in OPS in Major League Baseball against righties. And if you know, this game is still close once the bullpens come into play, the Mets have a much better bullpen, 11th in bullpen ERA this month in the month of May. Phillies all the way down to 24th. It seems like the Phillies never have a good bullpen. Them and the Jays just never have good bullpens ever. So I was surprised that the Mets, pretty good. I mean, WynnBET only has 5% juice. I don't know if that's always the case, but like, I was surprised. I was going to say they're picking, but they're actually their slight favorite because the Phillies, because of the juice, are at even money. So I was surprised to see the Mets only a very, very tiny favorite at home on Sunday night baseball when they obviously have the offensive advantage. They have the bullpen advantage. You might give the starting pitching advantage to the Phillies a little bit, but just with how good the Mets bats have been against righties, I think I give them a pretty big edge in this game. So I'll take some Mets for a little Sunday night baseball action. Maybe I'll have that on a second screen, and maybe the Celtics game 7 on another screen. So if you're looking for some Sunday night baseball, I like the Mets.
I like that a lot. Chris Bass has been pretty good this year.
Yes.
That was a good trade by them, I think. Needed it now, especially now that Scherzer and DeGrom are banged up. I was going to ask you, so now if you're going to root for the Mets, you just want every New York team to be good so you can just spite everybody in New York? Is that what we're doing here? I mean, we're betting on the Mets. Yankees already good. Rangers are good. What's going to happen, Ian? Can't have the Mets.
No, I'm cheering for the little brother teams, the non-blue bloods. As much as I used to hate the Islanders, now I'm kind of an Islanders fan.
Really?
Like Mets. I'll be cheering for the Jets big time this season. Screw the Giants. Mets. I'm just going to be – I know there's the blue blood teams. What do you call the other teams? The red blood teams? I don't know. The Mets. The Mets, Jets, and Islanders. But then also I kind of like the Knicks because the Nets are – No, I'll cheer for the Nets. I have to.
Oh, no.
They're Brooklyn. I have to. They're Brooklyn. I'm a Brooklyn boy.
Don't do that. Can't be doing that. Oh, man.
Yeah, I like the Mets.
That takes the whole thing. You said the underdog teams. Then you take the Nets with Durant and Kyrie Irving. Oh, my God.
I kind of have to, though. They're Brooklyn. I'm a Brooklyn boy. They're the only true Brooklyn team.
Yeah, that is true. That is very true.
So I'm kind of obligated to.
Fair enough.
Maybe if I move to Manhattan next year, maybe I'll start cheering for the Knicks.
There we go. I think you should just move right next to the Garden. Just build your own apartment right next to the Garden. You just be
perfect.
Mr. Knicks.
I mean, they do have RJ Barrett.
That's what I'm saying. They got the Canadian connection too. I mean,
I
don't see the Nets.
I flip flop back and forth on the Knicks and Nets.
I don't see the Nets bringing in anybody. They got Kyrie. Kyrie's Australian. He's from Australia. Come on.
I remember when two Canadians put up 30 points each against the Nets this year. I was there for that. Shout out Lou Dort and SGA.
Oh, that's right. Lou Dort, dude, the Thunder got a lot of Canadian guys too. Damn.
The Thunder are basically Canada's team. They have more Canadians than the Raptors.
Do the Raptors even have anybody who's Canadian? I was thinking about that. I don't think they do.
I don't think so.
You think it would be like
they used to? I forget the guy's name now. They used to have a Canadian. I don't remember his name anymore. Played on the Spurs,
like,
I think, for a while.
Every year they got to take like a guy. One year they got to take a guy in like the second round with like the last pick of the second round who's just from Canada and he just sits at the end of the bench the whole time.
The Raptors should be the only team allowed to have Canadians. How about that? Like the old NHL rule where the Montreal Canadiens were the only team that were allowed to have players from Quebec, which is why they won all their cups. The Raptors should be the only team that's allowed to have Canadian players.
They would be so good if they did that. That team would be insane. Jamal Murray, Wiggins, Barrett, SGA, Lou Dort. Like, they'd have a great team. Canadian basketball is on the rise, dude. Like,
it is.
Isn't Shaedon Sharpe the kid? Is Shaedon Sharpe from Canada?
I don't know.
There's a kid in the draft this year who's from Canada, I think.
Don't know who he is.
I'll get that back to you.
Hey, we're in the World Cup. We got basketball players. Canada's coming up in sports, man. It's no longer just a hockey country. We've got a couple drivers in F1 right now.
And if the Oilers win the Cup, are the Oilers the only Canadian team left? Yeah, they are, right?
Yes.
Yes. So Oilers got to win. Are you rooting for them to win the Cup?
Yes, I hate every other – well, yes. I hate every other team that's left.
Okay. If it was Oilers, Hurricanes, because I know you have the Hurricanes future, would you root for the Oilers still?
No, I'd probably root for the Hurricanes.
Okay.
But that would be the best case scenario. I'd be happy either way. So I'm definitely rooting for Hurricanes. The Lightning are going to three-peat. I mean, we've gone way off topic. We've got to end the show, but the Lightning are going to three-peat. Let's just be real. Their toughest challenge was the Leafs, and they won, so –
they haven't ran into Igor yet, though. That's going to be the toughest one.
They're going to sweep the Rangers if they take on the Rangers next round. It's not even going to be close. They're the only team that actually has like just as good of a goalie. Andre Vasilevsky is just as good as Igor. So.
Yeah, that's the issue. The Rangers can't score anyway, so it's like they'll lose every game 1-0. It'll be great.
All right, we've gotten off topic. Let's wrap this up. We're about 5 minutes over time anyways. Thank you all for watching. Like, subscribe on YouTube, all that good stuff. No daily bet slip tomorrow. The graphic's going to say Monday to Friday, but not tomorrow because it's Memorial Day, my first Memorial Day in the United States. I'm still going to be working, but we're not going to do a daily bet slip. So daily bet slip will be back on Tuesday. Do we know who's doing the show that day?
We do. It is going to be Ben and Reed on Tuesday.
Ben and Reed streaming on Tuesday. Tune in for that. That will be fun. Outside of that, everyone enjoy the action today. Sunday Night Baseball, Celtics Heat Game 7. Enjoy your long weekend, and we'll talk to you sometime this week.